Amen. Thank you so much. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, now the 6th chapter, the 9th verse. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin in verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And God blesses the reading of His Word. Join with me as we pray. Father, I ask that You would take Your Word, that You would challenge our hearts, that You would draw us closer to Jesus, that You would teach us to pray. And we thank You for what You're going to do in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Wouldn't you have loved just to spend a day with Jesus, just to walk with Jesus, just to listen to Him talk? How about a week with Jesus? How about a month with Jesus? Wouldn't that have been fantastic? What about 3 years? The disciples spent about 3 years with Jesus. Every day a new day. Every day hanging on every word. Every day getting to see Him do amazing things. Oh, the things they saw. Every day. Today, what's He going to do? Today He may heal the sick. Today He may give sight to the blind. Today He may let a lame man, somebody that's never walked, start walking and leaping and jumping around. Today may be the day that He raises the dead. What a thing it would have been to walk with Jesus. And just think about, you got Jesus, you got Him 24/7, you got Him for 3 years, you've seen Him do so many things. What do you want to learn from Him? Oh, Jesus. You know, when you got a coin out of that fish's mouth, that was pretty neat. If I caught enough fish, I could get pretty rich. Maybe, can you show me how to do that? Jesus, I've known a lot of people that are blind. I've seen You bring sight to the blind in different ways, but could You show me how to do that so that I could help blind people be able to see? Jesus. Oh, people get to where they can't walk, and it's so sad to see them just sitting there. Could You tell me how to give strength to their legs? Jesus, you know, I've had a lot of people die in my family. If I could just bring them back to life, can You teach me how to do that? But they didn't ask those things. Now, I understand these were not learned men, but they knew what they wanted to know. And out of all the things they saw Jesus do, out of all the things they heard Him say, the thing they asked Him to teach them was, Jesus, teach us to pray. You see, at some level, they understood that prayer was the key. Prayer opened the door. And so what Jesus does in the Sermon on the Mount is He teaches them and us how to pray. Now, this is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. I want you to know it's not. Now, we'll call it that because that's what it's called, but it's not the Lord's Prayer in that Jesus would not pray this prayer. This is not a prayer He would pray. This is a prayer He would teach. You see, it's not a prayer He would pray, but it's a prayer He knew that we needed to pray. Because we need to know how. We needed to know how to call on Almighty God. Prayer is the very lifeblood of, of believers. Prayer is that which can give you strength for a day, for a problem, for a difficulty. I want you to know there is no problem, there is no sickness, there is no financial burden, there is no political pundit, there is no hardship that cannot be met by prayer. We need to pray. We need to know how to pray. Our church is limited to the prayer power of our people. Now, I am so thankful we have prayer opportunities right here at Northside Baptist Church. If you come at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, we have a ladies group that prays. We have a men's group that prays, and they've been doing this for over a year, and they're continuing to do it Sunday by Sunday, but week by week. You can join them. You can pray with them, and it just starts our Sunday off in a great way. What an exciting thing it is to come to the pulpit knowing that we have had people actively praying. Now, if you go to our Sunday school classes, there's prayer in the Sunday school classes after that, and that's going on, and you have an opportunity to pray with your Sunday school class. And if you're not in Sunday school, you need to be. You need to be in Sunday school for you. You need to be in Sunday school for them. You need to be in Sunday school to have people praying for you. And it gives you another conduit to prayer and people praying for you. On Wednesdays, and we have our what is traditionally called a prayer meeting. It's Wednesday worship, and we give a good portion of that time to prayer, to getting prayer needs and to praying for the needs of our area. And so there's that opportunity to pray. And then on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays, there's an opportunity for you to get healthier. There's a walking group here at the church, and you can come at, I think, 10 o'clock on those days and walk laps around the building. 22 laps is a mile, by the way, inside here in the climate-controlled area. And so, you can walk, but more powerful thing than walking, more than giving strength to the legs and body, they pray. We are empowered by prayer, and yet we need more prayer. Jesus showed us how to pray. He showed us that we should be praying all the time. When you looked at Jesus, he was praying all the time. When he didn't have time during the day to pray, he was praying at night. He was praying up early in the morning. Before the sun was up, Jesus was praying. If Jesus had that urge, that need to commune with the Father in heaven, shouldn't we have that same need? We've got it a lot more. Jesus expects us to pray. He doesn't say, if you should pray, this is how to pray. No, he says, when you pray. He knows that if you know him, at some time you are going to have to call out to him. Now, as I said, this is not a prayer that Jesus would pray. So he gives us this model, if you will. It's a prayer primer to get us started in prayer. It is not for mere recitation. Now, you probably know this prayer. Now, if you are like me or you're at my age and you know this prayer, you don't know it like I just read it. You know it with these and thous. You know it in King James English because that's how we learned it. And it's burned into our minds that way, and it's kind of hard to separate ourselves from that. But, we don't talk that way, do we? This prayer was not something to be mindlessly recited. Now, you're not wrong to pray this prayer, but it should be done with your mind engaged. This is not just lyrics to a song, although it's very beautiful when sung. If the message of prayer doesn't have your heart, then the substance of prayer will not go anywhere. And so this prayer needs to pour through your heart, and this gives you a pattern for praying. Don't just mindlessly copy it. In fact, don't just mindlessly do anything. We get to pray at mealtime, and I hope you pray before your meals. I think that's an important thing to do. And a lot of those prayers sound alike, don't they? You know what? That's okay. As long as it's through your heart. Don't disengage yourself from prayer whenever you pray. Understand who you're addressing. And know if you're going before God, He should have your full attention. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I pray, my mind will seek to wander. And I will have to draw my mind back to my focus. And I often apologize to God for my wandering mind and my weakness in that way. But I know my focus needs to be on Him. And so Jesus is teaching us how to pray. And He tells us prayer is personal. You know, I can pray for you, but I can't pray as you. Prayer is personal. After this manner, pray, our Father in heaven. And I know you want to say who art. That's okay too. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The focus of the prayer is on a heavenly Father. It's not just a heavenly Father, it's our heavenly Father. The focus of prayer is not what we need, it's on who we're talking to. The focus on prayer is God Himself. We address Him as Father. It's a great name for God. It's an appropriate name for God. He is our provider. He is our caretaker. He is the one who loves us and watches out after us. Prayer is as personal as a child reaching out to their father. Calling God Father reveals that prayer is a family matter. Listen, you can pray for anybody, but prayer is not for everybody. You understand me? You can pray for anybody, but prayer is not everybody can pray. Prayer is a family matter. And if you are not in the family or seeking to get in the family, your prayer life is pointless. I am impressed by the prayer regimen of Muslims. Throughout the day, bowing toward Mecca, throughout the day, stopping, putting out their prayer mat and praying again and again and again, very routinely, very religiously, very, very practically. And yet I am here to tell you that it's not prayer. I've been to the Wailing Wall in Israel. And they will stand there for hours next to the Wailing Wall. They go to the Wailing Wall because it is the closest you can get to where the Holy of Holies was. It's the closest you can get. Just on the other side of the wall was the temple. Just on the other side of the wall was the Holy of Holies, the chamber that God would descend to. And so as close as you can get, they get there and they stand there and they put prayers in the cracks of the wall and they pray throughout the day, and you'll see them rocking back and forth and you see them rocking. And so I was curious, well, what's that all about? He says, oh, well, it's just so I can keep my attention. The rocking is a way to keep your mind where the mind is supposed to be. Well, that made sense to me. But yes, that wailing at that wall, that crying out, does not get where they want it to go. For if you don't know Jesus and you don't pray through Jesus, your prayer never reaches the Father. Prayer can touch the hearts of many when believing people pray. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to those that believe in his name. You come into God's family by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's where you enter the family. When you enter the family, you're on praying ground. God listens to the prayers of his children. When you are born into God's family, you have the privilege of speaking to the Father. Sometimes when people pray, their language changes. All of a sudden, sometimes the tone of their voice changes. Sometimes it's kind of like, who is that praying? You know, your prayers should come from you. I have had people tell me that they don't like to pray in public because they don't think they have the words. Let me tell you, if the words are from your heart, they are the words. If they are not perverse, then they are words you can use before God. God knows you and God knows your heart and God knows your vocabulary. And so we talk to God from our very heart. And he's our Father in heaven. Now, I want you to understand, God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. That's a big word. That just means he is everywhere. You will never be anywhere where God is not. And you can cry out to God wherever you are because God is there. But when Jesus said to pray to our Father in heaven, he is reminding us that our God is over heaven, our God is over all. And he's also pointing out the fact he's our Father in heaven. Heaven is the home for believers. One day, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, one day you will breathe your last here. And that loss of breath here will usher you in to breathing anew the breath of heaven and home. A place that will be yours forever and forever. But what about here? You know, I learned in life, some of us learn way too late. It's refreshing to be able to call home. It's a blessing to be able to hear from home. Just to be able to hear on the other side and know that it's mom, it's dad, it's home. That touch is a blessing. Now, for those of you that can still hear from mom and dad, I encourage you, pay attention. Don't waste the time. Oh, what I would give for one call, for one little word from home. Well, I want you to know that every day I have an opportunity to call on my heavenly home, to hear from my heavenly Father, to look to his word and see what he says, to cry out to him and let him know where I am and what's going on in my life. Is it not that he doesn't he know already? Yeah, but he still likes to hear it from his child. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The word hallowed means to holy, to honor, to set apart. And so we are praying that God's name would be set apart, that God would be given the honor that he is due. We are praying that people will know there is no imperfection in our God. There is no wrongness in our God. Our God is perfectly right all the time. Our God does everything perfectly right all the time. And so we want the world to know that. That is a prayer of reaching the lost. If we want the world to know that our God is perfect, our God is holy, our God is all loving, our God is all caring, that is only known as people know Jesus and come to know him as their Savior and Lord. And they know God as their Father. And so we want God to be hallowed in the lives of those around us. And may I say, he needs to be hallowed in your life. He needs to be given first place in your heart. He needs to be the one that you worship, that you adore, that you follow on a day-by-day basis. And if you wander away from him, you need to run back to him, because he is to be hallowed and exalted in your heart and in your life. This is a prayer that our lives will show the wonder of our God. So prayer is like a child talking to their father. It's personal. Prayer is like a subject talking to their king. It's personal. Your kingdom come. This world is dark and getting darker. It is messed up and getting more messed up. The people that are supposed to lead us don't even know where they're going. We're in a dark, dark world. We are in a world that is leaning toward the evil one far more than it is leaning toward our God. One day, and I've got to believe it soon, one day Jesus is going to come again. One day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day, it could be today, it could be this very day that will happen. One day the last person who will receive Jesus, the last person who will respond to the gospel, will say yes to Jesus. That could be in this very hour. And when that person says yes, the Father says, Gabriel, blow your horn. And Jesus is coming back for us. Oh, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We speed the coming of Jesus by sharing the gospel of Jesus. And so we draw people to him, and somebody you share Jesus with could be the very person that's the last one that signals the coming of the Lord. It is personal. It is personal as a slave to their master. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do you think God's will is done in heaven? I guarantee you every I is dotted, every T is crossed in heaven. Angels do whatever they can to serve the Lord in heaven. When you get to heaven, your sin will be gone, and everything you do will be in service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You will lift up the Father in heaven. You will want his will done all the time, and you will seek to make sure it is so. Shouldn't you want that now? Shouldn't we want his will to be done on a day-by-day basis? Just as a slave would do anything for the master, we, in love bondage to Jesus, in love bondage to God, should want his will done. By the way, here's a secret about prayer. Prayer is not about getting your way with God. Prayer is about joining your heart with God's way. And so you pray till you're in mind with God. You pray through until you want what God wants. You pray through until you're like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be accomplished and done. When you realize how God loves you, when you realize how God cares for you, you will want his will done. So prayer begins and ends with God. It is to the Father, it is through the Son, and it is by the Holy Spirit. Prayer is personal. Prayer is petition. Well, I thought prayer was asking God for stuff. Well, it is. Prayer is about asking. Now, I've told you before, the English language is a good language. You need to learn it. You need to apply it. We are in a day when it is being thrown away. Let me tell you, English structure is important, and there's power in the words, and there's power in the pronouns. The pronouns change in the text. You see, we have been talking toward the Father, your name, your kingdom, your will. And now the pronoun changes. And the prayer changes. And now it is not toward the Father, it is toward us. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Do not lead us. Deliver us. This is personal petition. It's unveiling your heart to Almighty God. Does he know it already? Yes, he does, but he wants to hear it from you. And so we are revealing ourselves to our Father. It is okay to ask God for anything, period. Well, I don't know if I should pray about that. If it is not wrong to want, it's certainly not wrong to pray about. The Father knows what you have need of. But he wants us to come before him. He wants us to lay our heart out before him. He understands basic needs. He understands food and clothing and shelter. He understands all those things. And if you talk to God about those things, understand, if you talk to God about those things and you want God's will about those things and you go about filling those needs in his will, what do you mean? Well, the Bible's very clear. If a man should not work, he shouldn't eat. If you're saying God just rained the hamburgers from the sky, I'm just going to sit here on my couch and watch TV, perhaps you won't see that prayer fulfilled. Because God's built us to work. Now, if you physically cannot, certainly God knows that and God fills the gaps for you. But if you can, God knows that. And so God empowers us to labor in order to get what we need, in order to earn what we need, in order to supply what we need, in order to care for our families. It's God that fulfills all that. And he uses our faithfulness in order to do those things. It reminds us that what we have is by God's grace. God's grace is sufficient for you, and he will supply whatever you need. He will care for you. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." What a God. What a power. All we have to do is pray. He promises to be there. He promises to listen. Give us this day our daily bread. People have tried to spiritualize that and make that bread into a lot of different things. They said that, well, that bread is Jesus, or that bread is something else in your life. You know what I believe this meant by daily bread? I think it means daily bread. You see, God is in the details, and God understands you have daily needs, physical needs. Why does he know that? Because he built you. And so he knows those daily needs. And so it doesn't bother God that you call out to him for your daily needs. By the way, it's daily needs. God wants us to go to him every day for our daily needs. Couldn't you pray today for next week's needs? Well, you can. But you need to pray to God for your daily needs. It acknowledges in your heart and mind where stuff comes from. It reminds you that Almighty God is in charge every day. I can't forget him. I can't leave him out. We're to trust God for today's needs today. Sufficient to the day is its own evil. Tomorrow's needs will be tomorrow's needs. There will be needs tomorrow we don't even know today. We're to trust God today for whatever need we may have today. Now, this petition thing is not the largest part of the prayer, but it's an important part of the prayer. God knows what stuff we need, and God can supply that stuff. And God can adapt us to the stuff he supplies. We shouldn't be so worried about daily needs that we forget the one who provides. You can also ask God for social needs. And then he moves on to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And this is where this thing gets tricky. We've prayed this prayer, and yet we got people we don't like. And yet it says, God, forgive me the same way I forgive others. He calls sins debts. We owe God because of our sin. Only God can provide the answer to what we owe. We are to daily ask God to forgive us. When do we ask God to forgive us of our sins? When we know that we've sinned. Immediately we ask God to forgive us. But there is a provider in this verse. It says, forgive me the same way I forgive others. How are you at forgiving others? You know, I might not have been very good at forgiving others, but when I realize that that's the only way I'm going to be forgiven by God, I can learn to forgive others. And this is not talking about your eternal forgiveness. When Jesus died on the cross, your forgiveness was sealed. His blood had paid the price for all sin in your life forever, and you will go to heaven being totally forgiven. This is talking about your daily forgiveness and operating in this world. And so we receive that daily forgiveness, crying out to God, and he empowers us and he guides us and he directs us. It unleashes daily blessings. Now, for those that you are parents, maybe you can relate to this. Maybe there's a time that your child, you love your child, you really do love your child, but sometimes your child behaves like your spouse and not like you. And so your child falls out of favor. It doesn't mean that you don't love your child. You really love your child, but there are things you can't do with your child because your child is messed up. And so they've got to fess up in order for you to be able to bless them the way you want to bless them. Well, that's how God operates. And so there are times God loves us and he wants to bless us, but he holds the blessing until we get our lives straight with him. Jesus says God's daily forgiveness is tied to how you forgive others. Listen, I know people do us wrong. I know people have done you wrong in horrible ways. I've heard of people doing unspeakable things to other people. And yet, having God's forgiveness on a day-by-day basis means more to me than what anyone else could do to me to harm me. And so, yes, I will forgive. Now, will I like what they did? Absolutely not. Will I condone what was done? No, I don't have to do that. But I do have to forgive. Prayer is asking for our spiritual needs. Lead us not into temptation. Don't lead me into anything or any area where I may fall into sin. Now, God does not lead you to sin. He never does. But there can be testing, and you're asking God to direct your life so that you can pass the test as they come. God, don't allow me to dishonor you. Have you noticed that most of our prayers are after the fact? We do something wrong, then we go to God to fix it. Or something happens bad, and then we go to God to fix it. Get ahead in your praying. Pray ahead that God direct me to where I will act like you want me to act so that I won't fall into those issues, so that I won't do those things, so I won't think that way, so that I'll have your victory. Deliver us from the evil one. That's talking about the devil. The devil is more powerful than you, more powerful than me, not more powerful than Jesus. The devil is a reality. I know people want to think that the devil is a myth, but the devil is not a myth. Our world is marching to the orders of the evil one. How we need them to turn their eyes upon Jesus. The devil is a spiritual terrorist seeking to destroy your walk with God. Don't let him have it. Have God deliver you and walk with the Lord. Prayer is personal. Prayer is petition. Prayer is praise. Verse 13, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This acknowledges God's sovereignty. His is the kingdom. God is the one over all. We need to bow down to him. We need to let him have his way. We praise him because he knows what's best. We praise him and honor him because he will deliver and he will guide and he will do what is right. And his is the glory. All glory goes to God. All respect, all praise. Listen, we don't need anybody patting us on the back. We need to put all praise toward him. And as we focus on him, we get blessed. This is how a believer is to pray. But to pray, you need to be a believer. And if you've never invited Jesus to come into your heart, that's exactly what you need to do. You need to ask him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart and to save your soul. If you're in this room, you need to come forward and just say, I want Jesus, and he will come into your heart this very day. Believer, don't let your sins stand between you and prayer. And so we need to get our sins confessed. We need to get on God's side of things. We need to do things God's way. And maybe today is a day of just putting him first. You don't have to talk to me, but you need to talk to God. And then, my friend, will you commit yourself to pray? I mean to pray every day. Pray for this ministry every day. Every day. Pray for souls to be saved every day. Pray for others in our church family every day. We need the prayer. And you need to pray. Let's stand for prayer now. Father, I ask that you would move within our hearts, draw us to decisions that we need to make. In this very moment, Father, I pray that there would be changes in our lives and our hearts as a result of just coming to you, allowing you to be first and over all. Father, for somebody that doesn't know Jesus, let them come to Jesus now. Just saying, I want Jesus. Father, for believers that have gotten out of your step, Father, I pray that we would get back in the center of your will now. And I thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. You come as we sing.